From Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, to show us that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. I've given up a long time ago trying to figure out the meanings of dreams. At least in my experience, the wackiest dreams that I have are sort of conglomerations of random images that have some connection to some facet of my life that get distorted in some way. Colors change, amplification here, other distortions, they get thrown together and it's like picking up a mess of pickup sticks, and that's what you have. A couple of weeks ago I woke up from a dream where at the time I woke up I was being chased by a team of Secret Service agents. And the reason for that was I had tried to choke the Pope with a barbecue sandwich. You know that's true because you can't even make up something that wacky. Day before yesterday I woke up and I'd been having a dream about a student of mine who I didn't recognize in the dream. It was just some random person in the dream. And I was in a locker room. This person was one of our student athletes, and there were other people in the locker room. And he was complaining to me and upbraiding me for being unfair to him as a student athlete as compared to some of the other students in my life. And just before I woke up, he looked me straight in the eye and said, "You're nothing but a hypocrite." And then I woke up. And I went, "This is not a news flash." Because I know myself better than just about anybody. And I know that there are things about me that I wouldn't talk about much in church, if at all. And I assume that's true about a lot of the rest of you. There's a level of dissonance between what we show and all of who we know ourselves to be. Some would call that hypocrisy. Some would call it good parenting. Don't do as I do, do as I say. Live with it. You enter into it at your peril, the genealogy study of your family. In the age of the internet now, someone got in touch with my parents on email and began to show my folks some of the results of his research going into one side of our family, both with death records and news reports and all bunches of other things. And I learned, as it's been shared with me, that I'm the direct descendant of a man who served during World War I on the Mexico border. Didn't know that in El Paso. That was kind of interesting. This is the same guy who, on the eve of Prohibition, according to a news report, was arrested for slugging a bartender and put in jail. And one or the other of my in-laws and outlaws actually faked the burglary of his own house in an insurance scam. All of these good Christian people, I might add. "You're nothing but a hypocrite." Well, no duh. We come by it naturally. We come by it honestly. We live with lots of other people who are very visibly hypocrites, who've attained positions of leadership over our lives and entrusted with great power. John Kennedy. Marilyn Monroe. Richard Nixon. Watergate. Bill Clinton. I don't have a word for that. Tom DeLay. A level of corruption that is inevitable. In fact, the other side of the same coin as leadership. Because leadership is the entrusting of power. And anyone who is entrusted with power that is a human being will make mistakes. And the more mistakes you make and the longer you're at it, the more likely corruption infects your work. It's one of the strongest arguments I know for term limits. If you're at it long enough, something will happen. But I would suggest even those examples are useful to think about not in terms of the soundbite that we might find on YouTube. For although there's a John Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe connection, perhaps even a John Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, and organized crime connection. John Kennedy brought us back from the brink of nuclear annihilation. In addition to Watergate, Richard Nixon opened up trade with China in ways that, without which the entire international economy would be much different and probably much less healthy than it is right now. For all Bill Clinton was or wasn't, he now, in a refreshingly bipartisan sort of way, is working with George H.W. Bush and many others on an international relief effort with a foundation that is funded in ways that could not be so were it not for his position of leadership. Tom DeLay will have his day in court, and after that, we'll see. We'll see. What's interesting to me is that for them, and I think for all of us when you think about it, it's not so much what our life is like on our worst day that defines us, but rather what defines us is what our life becomes on the next day. On the next day. Where do we get the energy to go from our worst day to the next day and to make an improvement? Well, in part, and I think maybe very profoundly in a way that I'll develop here in a second, we get it from our life in faith together. And our life of faith is certainly built on the very personal stories of people with feet of clay, earthen vessels, if you will. Hero of the Old Testament, King David. Well, he's got a Marilyn Monroe-like story in his life too. St. Peter, the rock on which the church is built, is also noted for his denial of the Lord of his church. St. Paul, the author of much of the New Testament, was a terrorist to Christians. But David is not defined only with that facet of his life. King David, one of the few who did what God needed doing to move Israel forward. And he also gave us much of the book of Psalms. Peter is, in fact, the head of a church that endures, and his sermon on the first day of Pentecost is a model for rallying the troops and filling us with the Spirit. And St. Paul's epistles are the foundation of our theology and our faith. We do not define them in terms of their worst day, but the next day. So also, I think, for us. Martin Luther spent a great deal of time educating young people and adults about the nature of the church. And he did it through his discussion of his explanation of the meaning of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, the communion of saints, the communion of saints. In his explanation to that phrase, he said, I believe that there is on earth a little holy flock of pure saints, called the church. Not pure saints because of their own actions, but because the Holy Spirit works through them, that in spite of their own actions, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I learned just before worship that when Sierra and Darcy and Ricky were baptized last week, they were part of the sixth generation of Coleman, Francis, Boren family that were baptized into this congregation. The sixth generation, a little holy flock, pure saints, people in whose name and by whose legacy our ministry continues. With earthen vessels, I might add. But the treasure is what gives us the energy. Martin Luther talks about what the treasure is. In his further discussion of the nature of faith, he says, I believe that by my own reason or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit inspires me with faith that comes from without. It's an interesting concept. You know, we feel like our faith is weak and we need to sort of womp that up from inside. Au contraire, says Martin Luther and many others, faith is in fact the gift that comes from being a part of a congregation through which the Holy Spirit continues to work for at least six generations and will continue to sustain us and move us and give us the energy maybe to come here after our worst day and figure out what to do with our next day. We have this treasure, which is the Holy Spirit, that constitutes the church and gives us energy and sanctifies us in spite of and moves us forward in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine in earthen vessels that are us. It's a common criticism of the church, and it's a reason many people use for not bothering to attend. You know what? The church is full of hypocrites. Well, duh. Where else should we put the hypocrites? I'm glad that you're all with me. I'm glad that you're all with me, such that we can together experience the treasure that takes us all collectively, and also one-on-one, from maybe our worst day to the next day. Amen.